Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at WDIY.org, under Public Affairs, on the WDIY app, and on many streaming services. Today is February 12, 2025. The markets were mixed today, with the Dow closing down at 44,368, the NASDAQ pretty flat at 19,649, and the S&P at 6,051. Tonight, we're talking about learning more about cryptocurrency with a special guest. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can give your question to Cindy, and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. We are not taking live on-air questions tonight, but we will still take your questions. Again, you can also send them through yourfinancialchoices.com. Tonight, we're talking about learning more about cryptocurrency. I would like to start by setting the table for our discussion. After introducing our guest, I would like to go over some basic terms that you need to be familiar with some history of the evolution of cryptocurrency, and what we as individual investors need to understand as cryptocurrency becomes more mainstream, whether you like it or not. I'm happy to welcome Matt Hogan, who is Chief Investment Officer for Bitwise Asset Management, one of the world's leading experts on crypto, ETFs, and financial technology. He's a graduate of Bowdoin College and a frequent contributor to many leading publications, as well as crypto market reviews on bitwiseinvestments.com, where information is also available on investments offered. Bitwise Asset Management is the creator of the world's first cryptocurrency index fund and the largest crypto index fund manager in America. Thousands of financial advisors, family offices, and institutional investor partner with Bitwise to understand and access the opportunities in crypto. In his role, Matt helps create the index methodologies that underlie Bitwise's investment products and conducts fundamental research into the role crypto assets can play in a diversified portfolio. Welcome to the show, Matt. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, and it's really great to be here.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. We had met recently, and I was so impressed with your educational tilt on crypto, and I thought if we were lucky enough to get you, I was happy to have you here, because that's what we try to do, inform our audience and educate our community on, you know, financial topics. So we really appreciate it. Is there anything you'd like to add that I missed in your introduction?
No, you did a great job. You know, I just add that Bitwise has been around for 8 years, and we've talked to hundreds of thousands of people about crypto. It's a complex topic with mixed quality of information out there. So hopefully we can explain what it is and what it isn't in plain English, and dig into both the opportunities and the risks.
Okay, wonderful. And I wanna just mention one quote, Matt, that I saw on Bowdoin College's website when I was researching you. And they said, "We admit curious, thoughtful people to Bowdoin, students who appreciate hearing and learning from a perspective that differs from their own." And I think that was so impactful to hear that, because I do think we have to kind of be open and to understand something that doesn't seem, you know, maybe logical or sensible to us. So that's why I think it's really important that you're here. So we're not going to be able to fully explain the complexities of cryptocurrency, but my goal today is to help listeners who are not familiar with it, or rather don't understand it, to have a better understanding of what is you know, basically becoming a mainstream option in investing in business. And because you live and breathe this, Matt, how would you begin to explain what cryptocurrency is and a bit of the evolution of its use?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I love citing my dear alma mater, Bowdoin College, up in a wonderful, wonderful small college that does teach you to learn and think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So the place to start understanding crypto is to understand a little bit about the technological breakthrough that was the Bitcoin blockchain. You know, I think a lot of people hear the word crypto and they imagine that someone created an Excel spreadsheet and labeled it Bitcoin, and now it's worth $2 trillion, and that seems ridiculous to people. Actually, the Bitcoin blockchain was the result or the accumulation of about 30 years of computer science research. The problem solved was debated at the NSA, at Stanford, at MIT, in journals for many years, and it was trying to solve the following problem, which is a database that's available to everyone in the world.
Matt, you're cutting out a little bit. Matt, you're cutting out a little tiny bit. Sorry. So you were saying that there was 30 years of research from some of the major universities. So go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They were trying to solve a complex problem, mm-hmm. which is how do you have a database that's always accurate and that everyone can see but isn't controlled by any one person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your bank has a database with your bank account. Maybe a school has a database with my grades in it, but those are controlled by the bank or the school. So how do you have a database that's available to everyone in the world, that always updates, that's always accurate, but which no one person controls? And the Bitcoin blockchain put together a bunch of technological advances and solved that. And now you may say, well, what's the point of having this, what's called a decentralized database or a database that's not controlled by anyone? But you can start to do a couple of really interesting things. So the first thing you can do is own a piece of digital property. If you think about what digital property is, it's just a string of letters and numbers. Anyone can copy and paste and create infinite copies of it. So the way we've owned digital things in the past, like the way I own my bank account, is a bank maintains a database that says, Matt, this is your bank account. But once you have one universal database that everyone knows and trusts, we don't have to rely on that bank or that government or that institution to do it. We can own a piece of digital property in the same way we might own a painting or our cell phone or a car. We can own it and prove to anyone we own it without relying on anyone. And the other thing you can do is once you have this one database, you can move these digital pieces of property at the speed of light. So you can send money as fast as you would send an email. You can send a stock and settle it as fast as you can send a text. And when you talk about Bitcoin and crypto, what you're really talking about is the first time we've ever had digital property, which is Bitcoin. People talk about it as digital gold. And the first time you've ever been able to move money at the speed of the internet. You know, Bitcoin can move money faster than the largest banks in the world.
Mm.
And while there's some risk to that, those are very big ideas, and that's the reason it's attracted so much attention, so much venture capital, and so many smart people, because it's a way of upgrading our financial infrastructure, and it's a way of introducing a new form of money into the world. And so far, it's been remarkably successful.
So we really, it's similar to like how our phones work these days. We all don't have to exactly understand the technology behind those phones. Someone developed it, someone researched it, and we can do those emails and phone calls at the speed of light. And so now there's this other technology we may not all understand, but it is out there. It's available. It's been around longer than any of us had thought or realized based on what you said. And it was to help probably make this movement a little bit more efficient. So the blockchain is this technology. We may not quite understand it, just like we don't understand the technology behind our phones. We have to rely on the people who developed it. And there is more, I would say, monitoring and understanding of it than it was 30 years ago. So we're going to accept for our conversation tonight that we don't have to actually understand blockchain, except with this new information that it's been around for a long time, and it is digital property, et cetera, et cetera. So you mentioned Bitcoin, and I think that people are familiar with the term Bitcoin. Even my 94-year-old mother probably knows Bitcoin when she tells me to Google things now. So if you could explain that relative to the broader crypto environment and how it's different than cash, because you said you can move this faster than cash. Now, Matt, we are at our first break, so I want you to ponder that for a minute. When we come back, I'll re-ask that question for you, okay? So, folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you to all of WDIY's generous sustaining members. Setting up an automatic monthly gift on your credit card is the easiest way to support your listening and ensure WDIY remains a strong and thriving public resource. Become a sustaining member of WDIY today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit WDIY.org. Thank you for your support.
Okay, welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This year is Lori Siebert. We have Matt Hogan from Bitwise Asset Management to discuss cryptocurrency, to help us learn more about cryptocurrency. A few questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and you can give your question to Cindy. Matt, thank you for being here, and welcome back. So the last question was, we were talking about blockchain, and we're putting that aside. Now we understand that it's complicated, but that is what is the driver of the cryptocurrency, maelstrom we're in. And Bitcoin is one of those words that really stands out. People know what Bitcoin is, but cryptocurrency is much more than that as it has evolved. So if you don't mind taking a minute to explain what Bitcoin means within the realm of the broader crypto environment so that people know that there's more than just that.
Yeah,
and how it's different than cash, too.
There.
And how it's different than cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Yeah, so there are a large number of crypto assets and related blockchains. You may have heard words like Bitcoin. Some people may have heard of Ethereum, which is the second largest. The way I think of Bitcoin is it's like digital gold. So gold is a kind of currency. It's not a U.S. dollar, but it's a store of value that people have used for thousands of years as a form of money that doesn't rely on the government for its value. I think it's fair to argue that Bitcoin is trying to be digital gold for the digital age. And that may sound preposterous to a lot of people. It's only been around for 15 years. Gold has been around for thousands of years. But for younger generations, most of them, according to surveys, feel more comfortable owning Bitcoin than they do owning gold. And increasingly, some of the largest institutional investors in the world and some of the most sophisticated hedge funds have made the same bet that Bitcoin is digital gold. Now, there are other crypto assets that do different things, but Bitcoin is the best known. The way it differs from cash is similar, actually, to the way gold differs from cash, which is that its value varies over time. So we all know that the price of gold varies over time versus the dollar, but maybe over time it holds its value better than the dollar against inflation. The same can be argued about Bitcoin. It's much more volatile than gold, much more volatile than the dollar, but it's another form of sort of non-state money is a way to think of it, and it's owned by, you know, millions of people.
And it's certainly not as heavy as gold. So for when people are going into the stores or, you know, exchanging amongst themselves, it's much easier. So you said it doesn't rely on the government for value like gold doesn't. And so the crypto Bitcoin doesn't either. At some point, if we could just go back in time for a minute, Matt, at some point someone determined there was some value. It's almost like at the start of it, could you almost equate it to some kind of bartering, just like gold or even currency is? We're exchanging something for something. And so the original value came from what?
Yeah, so it was the first piece of digital property that you could own. Mm-hmm. It's the most secure piece of digital property you could own. And people in the earliest days were speculating that someday in the future, large institutions and companies and governments and individuals would want to store some of their wealth in Bitcoin the same way that they store some of their wealth in gold. And so they were willing to, you know, trade for it. They traded dollars for Bitcoin mm-hmm. on the bet that over time more people would want to do that. And sure enough, fast forward to today, and there are 9 governments that own Bitcoin. There are multiple endowments that own Bitcoin. There are a large number of growing number of investors who own Bitcoin. There are people around the world who own Bitcoin. So those people turned out to be right. And I think the same thing is true today. The people investing in Bitcoin today expect the trends that have continued for 15 years to continue for more years into the future, with more people wanting to own this digital version of gold. And they may be right, they may be wrong, but I think it's an interesting question.
Okay, so you mentioned people using it as an investment. So let's talk about that if we can, because I know that you, in you know the prior discussion we had, and your website, Bitwise, also discusses the various risks and considerations when investing in Bitcoin. So what are some of those considerations or risks they'd have to pay attention to if they want to? And we're not making any recommendations here, people. This is for education. But if people are using it as an investment or considering using it as an investment, what are some of those considerations or risks that, you know, you yourself write about and talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the data and you look what you see historically, I think the right mental model is to think of Bitcoin like hot sauce as an investment, which is to say, you know, when I have tacos or something, I like a little bit of hot sauce because it makes the plate tastier. Mm-hmm. But if I just ate hot sauce, it would be overwhelming. And I think that's true of crypto as well. It's extraordinarily volatile. It's much more volatile than stocks, certainly much more volatile than bonds, much more volatile than gold. And so if you add too much of it to your portfolio, it makes your portfolio volatile as well. Historically, and this doesn't mean it will be true in the future, but historically, adding a little bit to your portfolio and rebalancing has been great for your risk-adjusted returns, or you know, the returns, you know, modeled for the amount of risk you're taking. And so it can be, you know, just like a little bit of hot sauce is good in a portfolio, in some food, a little bit of Bitcoin has been historically good in portfolio. But you are taking on that volatility risk and a great deal of uncertainty when you make the allocation.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good analogy about the hot sauce. And because some people like more hot sauce than other people as well. So you have to, if you're going to venture into this, you have to understand your own risk tolerance. The other thought I had when you're talking about the volatility, because this is really still almost, you know, on the I know you said it's gaining momentum, but it's still very new to a lot of people, even though, you know, the original research was done 30 years ago and it's been kind of around, the technology has been around for a while. Really, the embracing of it is still so fresh that perhaps that could contribute to some of that volatility, I think, because you have people who may not be able to take it and get, you know, take the risk or take the volatility. They get out, they're in and out. And so that could probably impact those fluctuations too. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go through more questions, but we're at our second break. So folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're talking with Matt Hogan of Bitwise Asset Management about cryptocurrency. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have with me this evening Matt Hogan, Chief Investment Officer at Bitwise Asset Management. And Bitwise has a website as well, Matt, correct? That people can, that there is some information for individual investors if they're interested in learning more. I know that you write some commentaries and information. And your website is Bitwise? Go ahead.
Bitwiseinvestments.com. That's right. Yeah, we have a great deal of information there, and would love you to come visit.
Okay. So we were talking about the volatility, and you have to be careful about how much hot sauce you want to put in your portfolio. But and we can talk even a little bit later if you want about some of the research you've done and the attribution to performance of adding something in this field in cryptocurrency. But in talking about the volatility, the amount of risk someone wants to take, there's also, you know, different kinds of investing they can do. There's, I believe, and Matt, you know, you hear me hedging a little bit here because this isn't my area of expertise, and I would love to hear from you, because there are also different ways to invest in cryptocurrency. And you know, some may have more or less risk involved in that. So could you talk to me maybe a little bit about the difference in direct investing or other investment options that might be available that could help people manage further how much hot sauce they're putting on the, you know, their portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. There are probably three primary ways that most people do it. The first is to open a crypto account at a provider like Coinbase. Coinbase is kind of a brokerage for crypto. That's not quite true, but it's a place where you can go and buy and sell Bitcoin. And I think that's fine for small amounts of investing. For people who are making more serious investments, we see a lot of investors using some of the spot Bitcoin or spot Ethereum ETFs that launched about a year ago. Those have been among the most successful ETF launches of all time. They make it easy to access cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum because you buy them in the same way that you buy stocks. And then on the back end, the service provider takes care of things like safely custodying the crypto assets and safely trading them. So if you've used ETFs before, they're now ETPs for Bitcoin and Ethereum, and those can be valuable tools. And then the third way, which a lot of people have comfort in, is to buy crypto stocks or companies that are building in the crypto ecosystem, or ETFs that buy a bunch of those different companies. I know there's some people out there for whom the idea of buying a cryptocurrency may be scary, but maybe a company like Coinbase that is building a business around the growth of the crypto ecosystem, but which has employees and profits and financial reports, maybe that's attractive as well. So there's some interesting equity, crypto equity ETFs out there. They're the direct crypto ETFs. And then at small levels, I think it's reasonable to go directly to a service provider like Coinbase to gain a little bit of exposure if that's what you want to do.
Okay, so the spot Bitcoin or Ethereum, the ETFs, and then you mentioned ETPs, so I'm not sure I had heard that part before. Is that, you know, and again, I'm not endorsing anything here, but I just want to make sure I understand. For example, Bitwise Asset Management, you guys were the first to launch an ETF in this realm. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, and I should have just used one nomenclature. Yes. So we launched the Bitwise Bitcoin ETF. I was putting on a bit of a legal hat in calling them ETPs, which stands for exchange-traded product, which is a broader category. But they're broadly understood to be in the same space. It's just two terms used depending on which registration rule you use at the SEC.
Okay. And then if I go back to the crypto account for a moment at Coinbase, is someone, when someone is investing through them, are they actually buying the crypto versus the spot Bitcoin where they're buying into an ETF product?
Yeah, so that is more directly buying the crypto asset without the ETF wrapper. You can think of that more like buying physical gold versus a gold ETF.
Okay.
And there are pros and cons, right? You can have that direct ownership. Is a pro. The con is that the cost can be higher, and you can't lose the password that lets you unlock that Bitcoin, or it can be lost forever. And to me, that's a little bit scary. Whereas in ETF or an ETP, you don't need to worry about that. And they tend to be sort of a cheaper way to access the market in general.
Right. This is why I think it's really important that we had this conversation tonight, and why I'm so grateful that you came to talk to us, because there is definitely a difference. And I think that that is one of the fears that people have had, because we've heard the stories about people losing the password and it all goes up in smoke. So very different. And it's also different tax reporting as well, because there are some, and we can talk about that later as well, there are some advantages to having the ETF versus owning direct, because there's different reporting requirements, basically, and there's some other advantages to having an ETF. In the event that you have some volatility, you actually may be able to realize losses much easier and kind of stay within that realm versus owning direct. So I can talk about that later. There's just too much to learn here. But and I want to take advantage of having you here. So we talked about the volatility, and with the volatility goes hand in hand with the allocation. We talked about direct investing, which is maybe the crypto. And then we talked about the ETFs and then crypto stocks, which I thought was a great point for you to make too, because I hadn't thought about that. But there's also and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but because we have like 2 minutes before our break. But Matt, I think that the other thing, and I had mentioned this in my original in the original conversation we had, that there's like this black money kind of cloud over crypto. I had always thought, and if I'm thinking, if I had that thought, do other people have that thought, that was it used for nefarious activities? And that's the resistance to considering holding any kind of cryptocurrency. And I think that you had referenced that there's been a shift and that there's more regulation. And that's kind of a whole different, you know, world now. If you could kind of touch on that, if you recall what I was asking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely the case that in the first early years of Bitcoin, it was used a lot for criminal activity. And I think that Aura lingers over it. But there was a huge regulatory shift in 2019 when they started requiring anti-money laundering and know your customer rules at crypto exchanges around the world, to the point where now the Department of Justice says, you know, Bitcoin is not used significantly for criminal activity, and it's a poor tool for criminals because you can trace transactions. So I know that story still lingers out there, but it really shifted dramatically after that 2019 regulation, and to the point where now I think that's no longer the case. Obviously, you always have to pay attention, but I think it's now true that nearly all the transactions in Bitcoin are on the legitimate side of the spectrum.
Okay, I appreciate that extra commentary. And I know that I remember some time ago understanding that Coinbase was working closely with regulators to help them understand how it was all working so that the transactions could be, you know, reported and monitored, et cetera, et cetera. And I know the IRS has even, you know, changed their tax forms to indicate a question that people have to answer, you know, do you trade or sell or exchange services for cryptocurrency. And if we have time, I'll talk a little bit about that towards the end of the show. Folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are talking with Matt Hogan, Chief Investment Officer at Bitwise Asset Management, talking about cryptocurrency. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. This is Lori Siebert. I'm used to saying welcome back. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We have Matt Hogan, Chief Investment Officer at Bitwise Asset Management with us this evening. We're talking about cryptocurrency, trying to learn a little bit more on what I would argue is a very complicated subject, but maybe we don't have to understand all the nuts and bolts. We don't have to always understand how the engine's put together in our car. We don't have to understand how the chips are in our phone. And we may not have to understand all the workings of blockchain as well. As long as we have people who we know who are kind of monitoring it and understanding it and understanding the evolution and history of it as well. So Matt Hogan's been kind enough to join us this evening to educate us a little bit. Matt, again, back to, I know that you've done quite a bit of research and commentary, and there's lots of interviews that you've been part of out there to try to bring more education to, you know, the consumer. And you have information on your website, because I know I went and was looking there as well. And your team, by the way, very impressive team. If you want to talk about any of them, you can as well. Very impressive team. And you've done a lot of extensive analysis and research on considering, you know, some of the key factors in asset allocation. You had said earlier about when we put a little bit of cryptocurrency into a portfolio, you've done research that it does, you know, add some attribution to performance. And you looked at the time frame, you looked at rebalancing frequency, you looked at position size. What might you want to, you know, share about that or your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. We looked at, you know, every possible time period in Bitcoin's history. What would happen if you added 1, 2, 3, 5, 10% Bitcoin to your portfolio? And what the data showed was very clear, which is, you know, historically, there's never been a 3-year period in Bitcoin's history where adding it to your portfolio and rebalancing didn't boost your risk-adjusted returns. So there are some important things that I said there. The first is that you need to have a significant holding period in order to have that. You know, 2 years, the track record is pretty good. 1 year, the track record is pretty mixed, because Bitcoin has had some years where it's drawn down really substantially. And I think anyone investing in Bitcoin for the short term is making a casino-like bet. I would invest, you know, if I were investing with view towards the long term. That's what the data shows. And then the other thing the data showed really convincingly was that for most people, the right valuation is between 1% and 5% if you're going to allocate. The reason it caps out at 5% is when you get above that, Bitcoin starts to be the thing that dictates the biggest pullbacks in your portfolio. In other words, it starts to really make your portfolio volatile. And I think that introduces a lot of behavioral risk. I don't know about you, but when I look at my portfolio and it's down sharply, you know, that's when I make my worst decisions. So if you keep Bitcoin below 5%, stocks are still, you know, the tail wagging the dog of the portfolio. They're still the important thing. And you're used to that volatility. And crypto is just, you know, this hot sauce that makes it all taste better. So I think those are the two keys. Long-term investing, you know, below 5% for most investors if you're going to do anything at all. And then you have to rebalance it periodically, because that helps you sort of benefit from that volatility instead of suffering from it. And if you do those things, at least historically, it's been a very valuable addition to portfolios. That's not a guarantee it will be in the future, but historically it has had that effect.
Great comments. I want to reiterate a few things you said. Number one, you have to think of it long term, which is what we consistently talk to our clients about as well. Think long term. You can't. We say there's a yo-yo going up the escalator. It takes a little while to go up the escalator. Your risk tolerance is how steep that escalator is, but it's going to be up and down. That little yo-yo is going to go up and down. So long term, you don't feel it as much as if you're, you know, only on the escalator for two steps. But I like that you said casino-like bets. If you're just going in quickly trying to, you know, make money, it's casino-like bets. And being in this world, we do know that typically people do better over the long term. It's those lucky few who get those casino-like bets. Okay, so that was important. Two, the allocation. So sometimes people think, oh, I got to go all in. I think it's so critical that people understand and listen to what you're saying. You guys do this. You started the first, crypto ETF, which I'll let you talk about a little bit later. So you've done the research and you're the ones who are saying, you know, 1-5% allocation seems to be a bit of a sweet spot. You're not talking about going in 100% on this. So I think that's really critical because I have seen, Matt, young people come to us and say, we're taking all of our money out. We're going into Bitcoin. And it just like astounds me. And I haven't followed up with these young people, so I don't know what ended up happening, but it is astounding. So we're talking about, the kind of a good allocation to add some attribution to the portfolio. And then, of course, rebalancing. And back to behavioral risk. That is one of the biggest risks, I think, that anyone has in investing when you panic. And you panic when you're taking those casino-like bets, as far as I'm concerned. So thank you for reiterating that it makes sense not just on regular investments, but even on, you know, something that you think might have a little bit more volatility. And again, I often wonder if that is going to settle down over time. And I'm hoping, Matt, that we're going to have time to talk about the difference between Bitcoin and Ethereum, because I think there could be some differences there that are important to talk about. So first, let's talk about the evolution of its use. So we know that there are more adoptions of its use and regulations now. And I think those regulations helped kind of get over the hump of people adopting it. But there still could be some exposure for some people. So the cautionary tales, I think we just kind of alluded to, which is trying to get quick casino bets or not rebalancing or putting too big of an allocation. Are there any other cautionary tales that you think that we should be aware of when we're considering this?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, there's probably one more that's really important, which is, you know, there are a large number of these crypto assets. There's something ridiculous, like 30,000 of them or something, because they're trivially easy to start. You and I could start one in the next hour or so, but the vast majority of those are good. But the vast majority of those are going to go to zero. Mm-hmm. This is a market where size and scale matters. The size actually makes your technology more secure, more stable, used by more people. It's a network effect business, and I do worry also about investors chasing the newest hot idea. Right, that's like investing in a early stage garage startup with two people. Every once in a while, I guess you bet on Google, but most of the time those businesses fail. And so, I would encourage people who are learning about the space to at least first focus on the largest, most established assets. Mm-hmm. If they've been around for 5 or 10 years, they'll probably be around for another 5 or 10 years. That's probably the place to start. And take care before you get, sort of excited about the new thing that launched next week or last week. Mm-hmm. There can be some risk in that as well.
Mm, very good. Very good. Okay. So we had talked a little bit about holding cryptocurrency direct, kind of, I think, the Coinbase model. And then we talked about perhaps in an ETF. You had said earlier about the holding direct, even Coinbase, I think you have to have like a password, whereas the ETF, that kind of takes that responsibility off the investor. Can you talk a little bit to me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So when you hold it directly, you have a password. And if you lose the password, you've lost your crypto. And that may be fine if you have like $10 or $20 or $50. But if you have thousands of dollars in there, that's a big risk to take. So what we do with the ETF instead, you know, you buy your ETF the same way you would buy another ETF or ETP in your brokerage account. And behind the scenes, what a firm like Bitwise does is it takes in money and it goes out and acquires Bitcoin and deposits it in what's called cold storage with an institutional custodian. And what that means is, you know, we place that Bitcoin with firms that have been managing billions of dollars of crypto assets for the last decade, that are fully regulated, that have insurance in place, and that have the best possible technical standards in terms of how to secure your Bitcoin. And you get to benefit from all of that with the ease of just buying that ETF. So you get institutional grade custody with the ease of, you know, how you trade stocks. And I just think for most investors, that's a better solution if they're investing a significant amount of money. Unless you have perfect security hygiene and you've never lost a password, which I know that isn't me, you know, you're better off making sure that a qualified custodian is managing your Bitcoin through one of these ETFs.
And I realize, Matt, that you and I both understand what the word or the term ETF means, but there are people who actually don't know what ETF means. Do you want to take a minute to describe that?
Sure. Yeah. ETF stands for Exchange Traded Fund. And, you know, that's similar, sort of derived from mutual funds, which were the way many people invested for years. And then over the last 30 years, the new version of a mutual fund, if you want to think of that, is an exchange traded fund. It's like a mutual fund that trades like a stock. It tends to be more tax efficient and lower cost than mutual funds. So there's now, you know, I think $12 trillion or something in ETFs. And that's similar to the wrapper that is used for these Bitcoin and Ethereum products.
Mm-hmm. So it's a like a basket of various investments that or positions that might have a target strategy. So we can see ETFs that are like large cap ETFs that are mimicking particular sectors or indexes, et cetera. So it's kind of like a basket. So mutual funds, people might not even understand that's what a mutual fund is. But the mutual funds trade at the end of the day. The ETFs can trade intraday, which is, can be more efficient. And there's also some other efficiencies, tax efficiencies with ETFs, which we can mention later again. Okay, so that's good. So people understand. Then the Bitwise, for example, your company started this ETF, this cryptocurrency ETF. So it's not just one crypto, is that correct?
Well, we have a couple of different products. So we have single asset ETPs. There's my P again. Like the Bitwise Bitcoin ETF or the Bitwise Ethereum ETF, which just invest directly in either Bitcoin or Ethereum. And if you want to make those bets, you can. And then we have a product called the Bitwise 10 Crypto Index Fund that is a basket of the 10 largest assets while screening out assets that have significant risks. That's actually more like a closed-end fund, which is to say it can trade at a premium or a discount to the value that it holds. So if it holds a dollar of crypto, it may be trading for $1.10 or it may be trading for 90 basis points. We hope to make that an ETF sometime in the future. But right now it has those premiums and discounts associated with it. But it does give you diversified exposure to, you know, the top 10 crypto assets. So similar to how the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones Index captures a bunch of stocks, this index captures a bunch of crypto. And I think it's a great strategy, but you do have these potential for premiums or discounts. And, you know, hopefully we can make that an ETF in the future so that those go away.
Okay. So there's more to understand than just simply saying buying direct or buying an ETF. You have to kind of make sure what you're getting into and if you qualify for purchase, et cetera. Folks, we are at our last break. The phone number for questions is 610-758-8810. I did have a question come in about tax implications, which I will make sure that I touch on before the end of the show. Again, 610-758-8810. I'm talking to Matt Hogan, Chief Investment Officer at Bitwise Asset Management. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, also on the WDIY app and many streaming services. I'm talking with Matt Hogan, Chief Investment Officer at Bitwise Asset Management this evening, talking about cryptocurrency, trying to learn a little bit more about it. Matt, we did have a caller call in and ask a question specific to the definition of Bitcoin. He didn't feel that we had a definite definition of it. I don't know if that is something you could answer. And then in relation to that, he also said, if someone mines a new Bitcoin, is it suddenly worth $100,000? And I think we need to distinguish Bitcoin from cryptocurrency, because you did mention that there were like over 30,000 different cryptocurrency. I saw an analogy about a Bitcoin. They said Bitcoin to cryptocurrency is like Coca-Cola to soda. It's just one of them. So can we help? This was from Gerard in Allentown.
Yeah. Great question from Gerard, and I love that analogy. That is correct. You know, every different cryptocurrency has its own blockchain. They can be good at specific things. What the Bitcoin blockchain is good at is being really secure, a secure way to store wealth. That's part of why people call it digital gold. But yeah, it is Coke to soda. I think that is a very apt analogy. Mm-hmm. And then to tackle the second part of the question, you know, maybe to spend 1 minute on what is mining, and then I can answer mm-hmm. that question. You know, if you think about what your bank does, it processes transactions. You know, it sends money from here to there, and for that, it charges a fee. And if you think about the Bitcoin blockchain, it does sort of the same things. It processes transactions and sends them from one place to the other. But there's no Bitcoin company to charge a fee. Instead, the work that's required to process those transactions is done by a set of miners, which are just computers anywhere in the world. And actually, anyone can become a miner. It's an open network. And it is true that if you successfully mine a Bitcoin, which you do by being the first to settle some of these transactions amongst all the computers around the world, then you get actually, it's more like a Bitcoin and a half mm-hmm. worth about $150,000. But it's very hard to do, right? There are a lot of people competing to do it. You don't like automatically win just by showing up. And the work that you do contributes to the security of the network. So that's how I would think of mining. Think of the work your bank does that's done by decentralized computers in Bitcoin. And then, yeah, the reward is you get newly issued Bitcoin every time you succeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Gerard, for your question. I want to address the tax questions, if you'll grant me a few minutes, Matt, to just kind of go over that. And then I want to mm-hmm. finish up talking about some of your commentary on your fourth quarter, reports. When we talk about crypto, we talked about gold. And, you know, young people seem to like crypto maybe more, or adapting to it more than they might gold. And I made the joke about, well, gold is heavy. You can't take it into the store. But people are perhaps buying and selling crypto. They may be doing purchases or not. They could be buying services or not. But typically, I think, and Matt, you can comment on this as we go along, I think typically now people are using it for investment. They're looking for investment returns on this value. Probably, though crypto isn't considered currency, currency itself can have value in fluctuation in value and what people think it might be worth depending on where you're from and, you know, what goods you're buying. So crypto kind of has this value and it can be traded. But typically, I think we're seeing it now more as for an investment. But the tax implications of whatever transactions we have may be different. So if I'm paying Bridger, my guy running the board here, crypto, and he's doing it as a service, then that's income to him. That's business income. That would be ordinary income, just like when someone reports wages or not. And he may go to the store now and use that crypto that he just earned and buy, you know, a coffee. And he has to then sell his crypto to buy that coffee. And the value of that crypto is what it was when I gave it to him. So if I pay him $1,000 and he goes and spends $10 on a coffee, he has $1,000 of worth of crypto that he has to report as income, ordinary income. But now he has a basis in that crypto. He sells $10 of it. Well, if he did it the very same day, he probably doesn't have a gain. But if he waited a year and the crypto I gave him doubled in value, now that $10 that he paid for the coffee only cost him, you know, $5 worth of cost basis. He has a gain on it. So ordinary income for services gets reported one way as ordinary income. And if we hold it for investment and it makes money and we sell it, it's a gain. And that gain can be short-term or long-term. And the short-term gain gets taxed ordinary income tax rates, where if you hold it more than a year, it's at long-term capital gains tax rates. Because again, this is an investment. So we're buying into it to earn a profit. It's considered an investment. And if it's long-term, it has favorable long-term capital gains tax rates. I want to make one other point before I go back to you, Matt. And that is when I talked about the tax efficiencies, or that there could be some more tax efficiencies in using an ETF, there is something when we're doing investments called wash sale rules. We can't buy an investment and then 6 months later it has a loss and I want to sell it because I want to realize a loss for, you know, tax, you know, favored activities, tax treatment, and we call that tax loss harvesting, and buy it right back. The IRS won't realize or let us realize that because they said you didn't really want to sell that because you bought it right back, so we're not going to let you take that loss. That's called a wash sale rule. You can't buy sell something and buy it back, sell it at a loss and buy it back within 30 days. You have to, you know, wait. When we're using ETFs, those wash sales don't apply the same way. So I just want to mention that there could be some efficiencies in using an ETF when that's available or applicable or appropriate for someone who might be investing. Before I ask you my next question, Matt, did any of that, do you have any comment on any of that?
That was great.
Okay.
No, that was a tour de force. I thought that was very clear.
All righty. Great. I want to go back to, if you don't mind, your website. I am a researcher. I love reading. And I got to tell you, I did a lot of reading on this topic, and it's still sometimes hard to understand. I think analogies really help. I think the hot sauce analogy worked well. I loved the casino bet. I mean, so some of these analogies work well, but you seriously have a lot of research behind what you're talking about. And I know that you've done some commentaries, you've write papers, you have some educational materials. Sometimes there's research that's only available to financial advisors, but you have some of that information available to individual investors as well, or just the general public. But one of your commentaries, it's the fourth quarter 2024, you wrote in there, you said crypto officially, quote, crossed the chasm, moving from outsider status fully into the mainstream. You just did that. That is now. We are in that. You feel that it's crossed this chasm. This is why I think it's really important. We're talking about it now, even though, unbeknownst to me, this has been around for longer than I realized. What did your team, what did you and your team see so many years ago when you started Bitwise? I'm curious. I love to know how you think. Bowdoin College, a plug to them again. And can I mention your major, Matt? Can I say what your major was?
Yeah, of course.
Philosophy.
Of course.
A strong thinker here. We have to think of Rodin's thinking man. What were you guys thinking?
It's a great question. You know, I had a real privilege. We talked earlier about exchange-traded funds, which are now the primary way, ETFs are the primary way most people invest. And I had the real privilege to be in that industry for 13 years as they went from this obscure little tool that no one had heard of that had a few million dollars in assets into the primary way people invest that now have $12 trillion of assets. Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the early days, everyone told me, you're crazy. People invest in stocks and mutual funds. They're not going to change. But I saw ETFs as a way to lower costs and lower tax for investors. And even though there were all these objections, and even though newspapers called them weapons of mass destruction, and even though there were congressional hearings about the risks of ETFs, I thought eventually these more efficient format is going to win out. It's going to win investors. And, you know, it's privileged to run a company called ETF.com and watch that happen. And when I looked at crypto, I saw the same thing. I saw a lot of people who looked at this new technology and were sort of very skeptical about it. I saw a lot of people who didn't understand it. And I saw a lot of people who were worried about it. But when you dig underneath the surface, you know, it can move money and property faster, cheaper, and better than the largest banks in the world. But an incredible fact is that Bitcoin can move money, no employees, no CEO, no offices. It can move money faster than J.P. Morgan or mm-hmm. Bank of America today. Not just a little bit faster. It can move money in a matter of seconds instead of a matter of days. And I just think that's going to win out over time. So I've seen the skeptics been proved wrong before in financial technology, and I think they're going to be proved wrong again here.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. We have just another minute left before I let you go. I want to start by saying thank you so much for your time. This has been very educational. What parting thoughts would you like to share with our listeners this evening?
Yeah, I appreciate the time. This has been really fun. I would just encourage people to research it. I think a lot of people reactionarily shut down on crypto. The reality is some of the smartest investors in the world, people, hedge fund legends like Stan Druckenmiller, giant CEOs like Larry Fink, you know, many of the leading regulators in the world are actively investigating this and taking it seriously, the leading venture capital firms in the world. And so I just encourage people to educate themselves. There's a chance that I'm wrong and this doesn't turn out to be a big deal, but increasing number of people think it's a major technological shift. It's going to change the world for the better. And so it's a good thing to learn about.
Well, just like the term ETF when, you know, how many years ago no one knew what it was and look at where it is now. And so 10 years from now, people will say, oh, remember when Lori and Matt had that show? Talking about crypto. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. So your website is Bitwise?
Bitwiseinvestments.com.
Okay, Bitwiseinvestments.com.
Yep. Bitwiseinvestments.com.
Thank you so much to you and to Bowdoin College for your thinking outside of the box and hearing and learning from a perspective that differs from your own. So thank you, Matt, and I'll let you go, and I'll say goodbye to my guests. So thanks again. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, callers. Thank you, Matt Bowdoin of Bitwise Asset Management. Thank you, Cindy and Bob and Bridger, for being here. Next week, we're going to take listeners' tax questions. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.